Okay, last week we went through, and I think I probably went through some of them too fast, especially at the end because I was going a long time. But I went through things, speaking about things that we should do with our whole heart or with all of our heart. And, you know, it's an idiom we use even today. We talk about doing things half-heartedly or wholeheartedly. We talk about people having heart for things or not having a heart for something. And it's a big thing in the Bible, and the word heart is used in, you know, several different ways. Of course, the physical heart is one, and then figuratively, and again, it's used several different ways figuratively. Mostly, it's used as the center of our being, right? You know, the depths of our mind, and, you know, it is who we are, right? So, we looked at several different things that talked about, I think there were nine, that we should do with our whole heart. One was love God with all our heart, right? Matthew, it says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, which was from Deuteronomy. And then it also talks about that we should walk before him with all our heart. Serve him with all our heart, yep. And there were some others, but we're going to look today at one I thought would be really good to look at, and that is trust God with all your heart. And we're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 3 to begin there. So it's trust God with all your heart. That's what we're going to look at. And I want to say right out that the word trust in the Old Testament is translated by seven different words in the Old Testament, the King James, from the Hebrew, and it occurs 155 times. The words rendered trust are equivalent to believe in the New Testament. The most common word used is the word, and Bullinger says batah, B-A-T-A-H, but in Young's it says batach, B-A-T-A-C-H, which I think is really how they pronounce it. So they did a phonetic spelling. That's what I think. And then there's, you know, some places where it have prefixes and things like that. But it's used, that word is used 105 times or 107 times as it is here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, which is where we're going to start. And it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So that's pretty good. Proverbs was written, and they are words to live by, right? They're wise sayings. And Solomon wrote most of them, and he was writing to his young people, to his sons and people that needed to know. It was good instruction according to God's word. And of course, he did it by revelation, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God or is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, which is instruction in righteousness. So that's all scripture. Now, some of it is written specifically to us and some of it isn't. In this case, this is true of us. It doesn't contradict anything in the New Testament or in the epistles that are written to us. So it says here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's a pretty good thing to do. We trust in lots of things in life, don't we? And some of those things are not worth trusting in, but, you know, you trust the bank with your money, don't you? Yeah, you do. You don't, you know, I guess in some ways you don't have a choice. You can bury it in the backyard. When I was a kid growing up in Long Island in the 1960s, believe it or not, there were these guys, and they had a farm right next to the high school. They actually sold the land next to the high school. So these guys were loaded. They were millionaires. And they still plowed their field with a horse. And I don't think they had electricity in their house. And they buried money in the backyard. And one time they got robbed, and it was in the newspaper. In the 1960s, in, you know, 5 miles from New York City, basically. So anyway, they didn't trust the bank. Well, we are to trust in the Lord, in Jehovah, with all our hearts. And it says, and lean not to thine own understanding. Understanding here can be translated intelligence. It's another way it could be translated. But you get it, right? You don't just rely on and trust just your reasoning, your logic, your intelligence. You have to take everything to the Word and measure it against what you know of the Word of God. And then it goes on and says, and this is a result. Well, then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So again, that's trusting God, right? You look to him and acknowledge him in everything, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, it's a good thing to check with him whatever you're doing. To ask his help or his safety and protection or whatever. You know, pretty much when I go in the car, I always thank God to protect me. It's a good idea. If we're going to the store, lots of times I probably say, okay, God, let's, you know, get some good deals or be wise in how we spend the money. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Wow. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Let's go back for a second where it said understanding. It says, lean not to thine own understanding. I meant to put this in the Septuagint. It says, be not exalted in thine own wisdom. You know, that's kind of cool because we exalt ourselves sometimes in our, you know, well, I know how to do this and I know how to do that and I'm an expert in this and I'm an expert in that. Well, yeah, but, you know, our understanding, our logic, our intelligence is very limited, isn't it? You know, the greatest minds in the world, if you want to call them that, still don't know very much. If you've ever been to the doctor, you realize that they don't know so much all the time. Sometimes they pretend they do, but in reality they don't. And if all I have to do is read the history of medicine and, you know, just in the last 20 years maybe, what they thought was really good was bad. When I got my knee operated on, the guy said, when did you do this? And I said, when I was in college. And he said, well, you're really fortunate that they didn't operate on you then because they did more damage than good. You know, and that's the way it was. I mean, they're always getting more knowledge, but it never ends because we have finite minds and we're limited in our abilities. God is unlimited. So it says, be not in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. You know, fear the Lord, respect the Lord, reverence the Lord, and depart from evil. What a great thing to do. And the result will be, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And marrow is where the blood is produced, right? That's what manufactures our blood. And I guess it's always making it, right? It's always making more blood and it's healthy. You know, when somebody has leukemia and they have a problem, they do bone marrow transplants a lot of times. Then it says in verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Meaning, you know, whatever you make, whatever you earn, whatever you produce, you should honor God with the first fruits of all thine increase. And, you know, we learn about giving and receiving. We learn about tithing and giving. And God promises that he will prosper us as we give. And it's not just, you know, just the monetary thing, but in all aspects of life, giving is receiving. God blesses us when we are giving. And so that would be trusting God, wouldn't it? God tells you to give and you trust him and so you do it. And then he says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Woohoo! And then you can party. So when we think of trust, we think about having confidence, right? Or reliance. We can lean on something in a figurative sense. But here it has to do with relying on God and His Word and acting on it, which is really how we define believing, isn't it? We take the information and we act on it. And that's really what trust is all about. There are many great benefits when we trust God and believe God, and we should always give it our all. So let's go to Isaiah. And a lot of these verses are in the Old Testament, but again, they are, pretty generic. They're just instruction. They have nothing to do with the Old Testament law. They're just instruction in living life. Good advice. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, it says, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "Behold, God is my salvation." The word salvation could also be translated deliverance, right? Whenever you see the word salvation in the Word of God, it can mean one of several things. But deliverance is a nice, again, broad usage, because it could be deliverance from any kind of physical or mental or spiritual situation. In the New Testament, it can refer to the new birth, right? It can refer to healing. So here, Isaiah is saying, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." And again, when we trust God, then we're not afraid. If we're afraid, we're not trusting God, are we? Right? I mean, they're antithetical. You can't trust and be afraid. You can't be afraid and trust. "For the Lord Jehovah," or "for Jehovah, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation," my deliverance. Let's go to Isaiah 26. And you're all familiar with this verse, I would be willing to bet. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." The NIV says, you will keep it in perfect peace, him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. It's basically saying the same thing, it's just in more modern English, I guess. But the word perfect is the word peace too. It really means peacefully peaceful. It's a figure of speech just to emphasize that, it's perfect peace. I don't know that I've ever had perfect peace, but, I've been pretty peaceful many times. And when I'm really locked into God, it's easy to be peaceful. Then it says in verse 4, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." When it says that it's everlasting strength, what does that mean? It never runs out, right? It's always there. It's never going to be depleted. It's never going to run out. It's never going to be exhausted. "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Let's go back to Psalms. If you go through the stories of the Old Testament, or even in the New Testament, especially in Acts and of course in the Gospels, you see where God encourages people to trust him and believe him. And when they do, things work out really well, right? And when they don't, what happens? They go down the tubes. Psalms 112, verse 1. Okay, praise ye the Lord. That's another thing we're supposed to do with all our heart, right? Praise the Lord with all our heart. It says that a couple of places we looked at last week. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. And it, again, it talks about being, fearing here is respect or being great awe. You know, now there are times when maybe there should be fear. You know, if you're evil, there should be fear. Or if you're thinking about doing something wrong, maybe you should get a little fear occasionally. But it really is respect. We're in awe of God. And when we're in awe of God and respect God, we're doing our best to do what he wants us to do, right? So it says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And of course, the word blessed is happy. Happy is the man that feareth or respects the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Which would mean what? Delighteth in his word. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Now, we're righteous because we're born again. We're made righteous. And riches and wealth, you can look at many different ways, but it may not necessarily be monetary, right, or possessions, but God takes care of you. You know, when it talks about prosperity, like in 3 John, when it says, above all things, I wish thou prosper and be in health, the word prosper means to go in a good way. You know, you have what you need when you need it. Of course, if we were to compare what the way we live today in the United States of America, we probably all live better than the kings of antiquity. You know, I was talking to somebody the other night about, you know, so if you were a king in the Middle Ages, you lived in these cold, damp castles. You had no indoor plumbing. You had no central heat. Man, that was horrible. You know, you didn't have any refrigeration to keep food fresh. And, you know, and they didn't live very long, did they? You know, how much better do we live? And we're just normal people. So wealth and riches, well, we got them, shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. You know, we have so much light in our lives when we keep God in our thoughts and in our minds, when we keep the word there. All you have to do is look around the world and see all the darkness. I mean, it just filled. We are to shine as lights in the world. He is gracious, verse 4 again, he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous, or just. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion, or justly. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, meaning you can't move his heart. That's where believing comes from, and that's where we are to trust with all our heart. And when you're really locked into God, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Your heart is fixed. It's steadfast. It's not going to be moved. Then in verse 8, it says, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. And you know, enemies could be anything. It could be anything that's adverse to you. You know, it's contrary to what's good for you, what's godly for your life. So it could be disease. It could be financial setback. It could be threats. It could be any number of things, you know. But when you're trusting God, your heart is established and you're not afraid, and you see the desire come upon your enemies. You see the demise of those things that are threatening you or coming against you. Let's go to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Verse 1, it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." You know, the word refuge, some of the words that are translated trust mean refuge. And refuge is what? It's a safe haven, right? So if, you know, there was a storm coming, you know, you trust in a shelter that will protect you. Out west, most people have, if they have houses, they have shelters for tornadoes, right? They have basements because they're safe and they trust them to protect them. You know, and that's a big deal, especially if you've ever seen a tornado. Or you probably all have because you see it on TV every once in a while, right? Or you saw the movie Twister 20 years ago, whatever. It's longer than 20 years ago, I think. So, and it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me." Wow, that's some confidence in God, isn't it? He performs all things for me, meaning whatever I need, he'll do. Remember when he spoke to Israel and Moses said, "Well, if who do I say sent me?" And he says, "Tell him I am sent me," which really was, you know, "I will be for you whatever I will be." That's where they get the word Jehovah from, right? That God would be their all sufficiency, that he would take care of them in every situation. He says, "That God, unto God that performeth all things for me, he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword." Wow. "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." You know, his heart is fixed on God. He trusts God. He's relying on God. His confidence is God, no matter what the situation is. Let's go to Psalm 4. And, you know, so much of this is in Psalms and so much of it is written by David. And you go back and you look at the life of David and what did he do? He trusted in God. I was looking at it and I'm going to have to go back someday and look this up. But he started out as a young boy, right? And he was a shepherd for his father. And Saul was king. And he goes and he serves Saul some, and then Saul makes a mistake, and then God anoints David. But Saul was king for 40 years. And I don't know when David comes into his realm, but for those years after Saul turned his back on God, he got jealous of David and hunted him, and he was fleeing for his life, right? So he had to trust God in so many instances. when he went up against Goliath, who did he trust? God. That's why when you look at some of these, you think about who was writing them. Here, Psalm 4 is a psalm of David. It says, "Hear when I call, O God, my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing?" Or the word leasing means deceit. Yeah, that's a weird one, isn't it? It must be King James English. "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." He was convinced that when he prayed to God, God would hear it. God would answer him. "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." What a great thing. You know, what a great confidence in God. What a great thing to emulate. You know, when you put your head down at night, you're confident that God's going to take care of you and that you can go to bed in peace, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, no matter what you're doing. Let's go to Psalm 28. Okay. We're to trust God with all our heart. And the example of David is immense. Psalm 28, verse 6 says, "Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications." He's heard my prayers, my specific requests. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed." Well, we're anointed with Holy Spirit, aren't we? "Save the people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever." And he's done that for us. Now, how do we trust God in our hearts? I mean, you see some of it. But I thought Psalm 40 really gives us a good understanding of how. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." And to hear, to wait, means to wait expectantly, to wait with expectation. "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." In other words, God saved him out of some pretty bad situations, right? Saved him numerous times. And what did he do? He set his feet on a rock, which means a solid place where he could be safe. We always think of the Word of God as a firm rock in the sea of speculation, to coin a phrase, right? That we used to hear a lot. The Word of God is a firm rock in the sea of speculation or doubt. He established my goings. NIV says he gave me a firm place to stand. Then it says in verse 3, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." You know, as we look to God and he delivers us, and as we bless God, as we praise God in our lives, it's an example to others to trust God. Verse 4, "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust." That's a really nice way to put it. Blessed is the man, happy is the man that makes God his trust. That's what I'm going to trust in. That's what I'm going to look to. And respecteth not the proud, for such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are they thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. His thoughts are what? His word. You know, what his thoughts are what he puts in his word to us. He gives us his thoughts. They're to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. It's kind of cool because this is in the Old Testament, right? Yet David was a man after God's own heart, and God did not require of him burnt offerings or sin offerings. Then I said, and this is, of course, quoted in Hebrews concerning Jesus Christ, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. His law, his word was in his heart. And that's where it's supposed to be with us, his word. If we trust God with all our hearts, then we have to trust his word with all our hearts, right? You know, he said several places here, talked about loving his word, delighting in his word. That's what we are to do. That's how we learn to trust God. We learn to trust his word. We read his word. We put it into our minds and we hold fast to it. Let's go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon the Lord. From him cometh my salvation, my deliverance. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that he has given us the victory, right? And as we serve God, as we work for God, it won't be in vain because he has made us victorious in Christ Jesus. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation, my deliverance. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall or a leaning wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. Meaning those that aren't trusting God. They're like a wall that's falling over. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. How many times?
All
times. Not just once in a while, not just the, you know, when you got really something heavy coming down the road or you're faced with a crisis, or but all times. No matter what you're doing. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. He's a safe haven. He's a safe haven. You know, when there's storms brewing, where's your haven? Where's your safe anchorage? It's God and his word. Let's go to Psalm 119. We'll finish up there. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord at all times. Trust his word. Psalm 119. You know, this is a pretty simple teaching, but I think it's great. I think, you know, you just put these things in your mind and remember them because they're so vital. Psalm 119, verse 42. It says, "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." What does it say in Peter? It says, "I sanctify the Lord God in my heart, that I may have an answer to everyone that asketh of the hope that is in me." Yep. And in verse 34, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law." You know, we can ask God for understanding. God is the greatest teacher of all. We ask him when we have a question to teach us. He can teach us. I remember my friend Dennis, some of you know him. I used to play golf with him and stuff. He could do anything. He was a great carpenter. He was a welder. He bought his mother a sewing machine so he could help her to learn how to sew. He learned how to sew. He could make dresses. Went to school. He learned how to cut hair. And he did all kinds of things. But I said, "How do you do all this?" He said, "You know, when I got in the Word, it said if I believe God, he would show me. So I just do." That's pretty cool, isn't it? And he did. "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." We trust God with our whole heart, and we go to his word, and we observe it with our whole heart. You know, that's what we are to do. God's word is God. That's how he communicates to us. That's what he's given us. Those are his thoughts. So if we trust in God, we have to trust his word. You can't trust one and not the other. You can't not love God and not love his word also. You can't love God and not love Jesus Christ, right? They're all connected. And so we're to trust. We're to trust in that salvation that God provided for us through Jesus Christ. That's why we never have to feel guilty. We've been washed clean with his blood. We've been saved. We've been made righteous and sanctified. And we can trust in God because we're his children. We're his beloved. We're the ones that he invested everything in. Think about that. He invested everything in us. What a great God. And he just asks us to trust him with all our hearts. So, Father God, we just thank you for what a great God you are, how you love us, how you take care of us, how you watch over us every single day, and how you're so willing to do your best, and that we just need to more and more prepare our hearts to receive your word and to do it. That we can just love you with everything we have, that we can trust you with everything we have, and that you are a great and delivering God. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.